Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore.
Dr. Moses is trying to get this as the graduation march for every med school.
On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my
eye. It's funny,
eye,
as you know.
You
highly respected Dr. Mosby. You know, on hold, he's singing the song.
I've got a stomach in its glow. Fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
That's him right there. That wasn't me. Good morning, Dr. Most.
Good morning, Mr. Cochran. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Did you have a nice weekend?
I did. Yeah, I did. Kind of like low-key, but it was very nice.
Well, you deserve a low-key weekend. You work very hard. Got a lot going on.
Lots going on. Yep.
Why are you hesitating? You feel like I'm setting you up for something, don't you?
I know. You, like, need something, I think.
No, not at all.
Oh, good.
Good. just saying I respect my friend's hard work. That's all. All right, so why are we talking flu mist this time of year? Because you and I discuss topics every week, and I never, ever, ever think you aren't right on here. But this one, you went flu mist, and I went, okay, why flu mist?
Yeah, how about it? Say, why would we talk about the flu in the middle of July? And probably the big news is because all the mothers and needle-phobic patients out there need to know that flu mist will not be available this year.
What?
Yeah, how about it? So it's kind of interesting. You know, we look at flu vaccines, and we always talk about, oh, the flu vaccine.
Hold on, Andrea just left the building.
Yeah, I bet she did, running.
Bye.
All right, so flu vaccines are produced ahead of time, right?
Correct. Yeah, we're right now manufacturing the flu vaccine for next flu season, you know, which will start late September, October. We'll start pushing to get people vaccinated. So what the CDC does, though, is they look every year to say, okay, did we hit the right vaccine? Did we have the right strains? That's one part of it. So that's to make sure that we were somewhat accurate as well as safe. And then they say, okay, how was the body's response to it? Was it effective as well? And unfortunately, what they found as they look back at the last 3 years of flu mist is that the effectiveness has been, I mean, I hate to say it, abysmal, you know, down into the single digits as far as how effective the vaccine was. Whereas the shot itself is 70, 75, 80% effective.
So when you're talking about numbers like that, who are the predictors? Do they use the same analysts that predict on Wall Street?
No. So what they're doing is they're actually looking at true blood tests on individuals who got the vaccines and got the flu mist. So this is a big one because a lot of pediatricians use it. As a matter of fact, when we have a vaccine program across this country, 55% of the school vaccine program used flu mist.
Yeah, and I'm picking on Andre here, but Andre, you know, Ross Cochran, my son, has had a needle problem forever. Bill Leff has a well-documented problem with needles. So this is a big deal.
It's a huge deal. Last season when we were down there giving vaccinations to all you guys, now Andrea stepped it up and took the needle.
Mm-hmm, I did. 2 years in a row.
Yeah, yes, you have. Even you had to go to Scotland once to get away from the other run, but that's what we won't talk
that's
about.
That's right.
You punched Dr. Most in the face as he was injecting you, but yeah, he took it like a man.
It was something else.
But for Ross, you know, here's somebody who is going to have a baby and is going to be around a child, and boy, we don't want to give any kids influenza, definitely. So we want to protect the parents as well as the baby. You know, and he stepped up and said, well, you know what? I really hate needles. I'm going to pass out. I'll do the flu mist. Well, little did we know that we gave him the flu mist last year, but the chance of effectiveness was extremely low.
So here's the thing. If you don't know wherever you are and you're a provider and you don't know flu mist isn't coming, how are we going to produce enough to fill the void?
Yeah, from the provider side, you know, we have all the pediatricians, doctor's offices, even Northwestern. We historically would order a lot of flu mist. Well, now we're scrambling a little bit because manufacturers say, okay, I know how much flu mist I've sold in the past. It's, you know, 14 million doses of flu mist. So we know what we've ordered in the past. Now, with that portion of our order being gone, we have to make sure that the people who are making the injectable can step up the production to make sure that we'll have enough to cover those 15 million people.
So this is really going to be an ongoing story that we'll have to keep an eye on.
Yeah. And this is really, right now, it's a more of a heads up to the parents, because you'd rather they know now versus going into the pediatrician's office and saying, well, Timmy got that flu mist, and have the pediatrician say, well, disappointingly, we don't have that this year. So it's good for the parents to know. The pediatricians all know. They all heard it. This news came out last week. So it is on the forefront of all the pediatricians' mind and all the individuals who order flu vaccine for health systems and hospitals.
All right, 6:46, we'll break for traffic here. When we come back, Doc, let's talk a little Olympics and Zika virus.
Yeah.
Because I'm considering not going, and as you know, I qualified for the 5-meter freestyle in the pool with floaties. It's an exhibition event this year, but I'm feeling pretty good about my chances. Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day. Doc, on Wednesday, we're going to make our British Open picks. So we're going to need to get a hold of you. So if you're in surgery, maybe stitch up the patient and, have your phone ready.
Now, does Sandberg have to pick first since she won last?
Yeah, that's honors.
Okay.
She's on the tee first. Yep, that's exactly right.
I'm going to copy hers and just change one out.
You think so? I'm not sure that's the right play, but who am I to judge? And we're going to try to connect with Kurt Byram this week as well, because Kurt's our majors connection. And Kurt's going to the Olympics, isn't he?
Kurt is. Kurt will be broadcasting the Olympics, which is pretty cool. You know, I think he's looking forward to that. Brother Tom played very well yesterday and finished T14. So the Byram brothers are doing okay.
Hey, he's having a nice season.
Yeah.
The Olympics are less than a month away, and we, of course, hear a lot of talk about Zika virus and something called, is it microcephaly?
Correct. Yep.
This is a horrible situation, a virus that affects newborns and causes small heads on babies, amongst other things.
Yes, that's exactly it. You know, it's a birth defect where the head and the brain does not develop as it should, and it's a devastating disease, very fatal in many, many individuals.
Carried by mosquitoes, the Zika virus is, and for those in the baby-making age range, it can be highly risky because apparently you can carry this as a man or a woman and sexually transmit it, right?
Yeah, and not only that, you can carry it and not even know you have it. That's probably the scarier thing. So, you know, you can have the disease and it can cause you just to have some really minor symptoms, you know, a little bit of fever, a little body ache, but really you don't know that you have it. It's not like, oh, I got this rash, I must have the Zika virus, or I have this one symptom. So many people that have it don't even know that they have been infected.
And coincidentally, with all the world headed for Rio and Brazil, this seems to be one of the, if not the, hotspots for it.
It is. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, this disease has been around for a long time. Started in the 1950s when it was first identified in Africa, and now has been transmitted into South America, and unfortunately is creeping up towards the United States. Not in the U.S. yet, but creeping up towards it. It'll be here quickly.
Right, and we hear incorrect reports all the time about confirmed Zika cases all over America. Well, that's not true, is it?
No. You know, there are confirmed cases here in the United States, but it's individuals who traveled either to the Caribbean, to South America, to Mexico, and brought that back. So it hasn't been actually true mosquitoes in the United States that have transmitted it. Now, that being said, we see that this mosquito population is moving closer. You know, it's in the Caribbean, it is in mid-Mexico, or kind of creeping up towards northern Mexico. So, you know, the U.S. is kind of standing up saying, okay, what are we going to do about this? Because it's only a matter of time before that mosquito migrates to a point of being here in the United States.
It's a long flight for a mosquito to make. These are mosquitoes that transfer to other mosquitoes and so on?
Yes. Yep. That's it.
That's how it gets north.
The population just continues to grow. And unfortunately, sometimes it's actually brought with, like, how did it get from, you know, Africa to South America? That's a long flight, like you say. You know, sometimes it's transmitted because it's in a container. It's in a car. It's in another transportation mode.
Right. We expect instant solutions in America and all of the developed world and stuff like this. Why is it so hard to come up with a vaccination? Too soon, too fast?
Well, yeah, you know, everybody wants, you know, everyone's been pushing Congress, get a vaccine. The NIH is working on a vaccine, but we have to remember that before we start injecting things into people's body, we want to make sure, just as we talked before, that it's safe and effective. So there's testing right now going on for Zika virus. It's being tested in mice. That's the first thing, you know, one of the first ways we're going to test it. And actually, the response in mice has been very good. After a single vaccine, the mice have developed antibodies against the Zika virus. That's very encouraging. And now we will start to see that advance to a point where it'll be in humans shortly.
All right. So what do we need to do here? Or let me take another step. Not that a lot of people are doing this, but people listening who might be going to Rio for the Olympics, we certainly have people in the audience who are doing that. What do they need to do?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it's all prevention down there, right? You're going to try to use mosquito repellents. You're going to try to, you know, stay away from areas that are going to have mosquitoes. But unfortunately, they're down there. It's even though it's the winter season there, coming into spring, they are down there. So you are going to be exposed to it. I'd say probably the biggest thing is any women of childbearing age that are going down there, or men of childbearing age as well, be very, very careful as you come back. You know, there are some areas where we can get testing to see if you've been exposed to it, to see if you have antibodies to the Zika virus. In other words, I didn't have any symptoms, but I still had it. There's a backlog on those testing because we haven't commercialized that yet, but there's still that availability if there's a concern.
We can't make it make sense for the pharmaceutical companies because it's a very small percentage of the population dealing with this, so they can't, from a business standpoint, devote a bunch of money to it, right?
It's very difficult. If you really think about this, you know, everyone listening right now, would you get the Zika vaccine? Most people would say, no, really. You know, I'm beyond childbearing age. I'm not going to. Or a lot of these kids are, you know, they still think they're resilient. You know, I'm not going to get that. I don't even get the flu vaccine. And if you think about that, this age population doesn't get the flu vaccine historically very well. And yet it's a disease that can make you very sick for 10 days, can put you in the hospital, can kill you. Where the Zika virus, they say, well, gosh, I'm going to get a couple aches and pains, and you want me to go in and get a flu vaccine? So it'll be interesting to see how the pharmaceutical companies do this, because it's a small population, so they can't make it up on volume, and you have a population that is kind of restricted. Any woman of childbearing age will run to get in line for it. But all others are going to be saying, why do I need it?
Doc, wanted to ask you, I was at a family event yesterday, and I had two separate people say that they had just gotten over shingles. And then they were going
and
back and
forth. And they shook your hand and hugged you?
Well, that's the question. They were saying, oh, one said it's not contagious, and the other said, well, it's only contagious if you haven't had the chicken pox vaccine. So nobody really knew what was the case.
Yeah, there is
it contagious?
This is family reunion season.
Yeah.
Maybe no one should touch each other.
Yeah. It's interesting, Andre. My brother called me yesterday, and he has shingles, so we started him on some medication.
Which brother?
Brad. David. David.
Do you remember which brothers they are? David's the youngest one.
Yeah. David's the youngest, yes.
I'll give you a chart if you need help.
You know him better than I. No, but almost everyone has had chickenpox, and many people have been vaccinated against chickenpox. So the virus from chickenpox actually lives in our body. So if you've been vaccinated, you can still have the virus living in your body. And when it comes out, when your immune system is down or you're under a lot of stress, it'll come out, and it'll come out in the form of shingles. Stays on one side of your body, follows one dermatome, one pattern. You'll notice it's a linear kind of thing because it's tracking along a nerve. It's unfortunately the vesicular, in other words, has little vesicles. And when those vesicles break, there's live virus there. So you certainly don't want to be around anybody while there's still vesicles. Once they're crusted over and closed and it's just red and inflamed, you're not contagious. But all those other times, you certainly want to stay away from people.
I think in general in life, as a rule we can live by, if you're oozing, stay away from people.
Yes, that should be.
This is a general rule from today's show.
Yes.
Those who ooze currently, don't be hugging people that you don't need to be hugging.
Or are crusted.
Well, crusted apparently is good.
Crusted's okay. Crusted means that they're dead and it's just the virus isn't there anymore and it's just kind of healing at that point.
Well, we've ruined enough breakfast. Doc, thank you for the information as always, and best of luck to all of us. You fighting a cold again?
Hey, I am. I don't know whether it's a cold or it just got... this allergy kicked in again. I'm trying to figure out where I was.
Hanging around sick people.
Yes, I do.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. That's Dr. Kevin Most, and best to David, obviously. A couple minutes before 7, back after this on 720 WGN.